Joining us live now, Ed Wedbush, president of Wedbush Securities. Ed, thank you very much for being with us, and give us your view of the market action we saw today with the dollar firming. And, well, dollar firmed the last couple of days, and we've seen the market turn lower. We saw an attempt of a rally today in the final hour of trading, but moving lower here at the close. Give us your view of what's going on here.
Good afternoon, Frank. It's my pleasure to be with you today. This market is of concern to me over the last several weeks and is beginning to show that with sell-off, particularly in the high capitalization market stocks. And I suspect that we're going to see the chances of more easing over the next several weeks as we go forward. So I would be very, very careful, particularly with these high-valued stocks. The two new issues that we've had here in the last few days, LinkedIn and also Yandex, are of concern to me.
All right. Is there some irrational exuberance going on here, you think, with these new issues? Give us your view of these all these IPO actions we've seen lately.
I think that when you look at the prospectuses and you look at the financial statements and the pro forma financial statements that include the new capital coming in, I would say that these companies are well priced, if not overpriced, and I would be concerned about the high volatility. Some of these securities like LinkedIn, the exchange hands, approximately 10 to 15 point spread today between the high and the low.
All right. Yeah, we see LinkedIn, for example, closing up more than $7 today, back to $95.45. It made a big splash Thursday on its IPO day and slipped in the following two trading sessions and rebounding a bit today. Of course, the currency is very much in focus with dollar strength and dollar weakness very much in focus. Today we hear the vice president and senior lawmakers meeting to take a look at health care costs as the debt ceiling debate continues there in Washington. While this is going on, what do you think is going to happen to the stock market in the meantime?
Well, I think the securities markets could show some weakness here because of the financial problems with the dollar and with the interest rates. And particularly with interest rates as continuing as low as they've been, it's actually driving people away from the dollar to other currencies in the world. And I'm very, very concerned about the low interest rates that the Federal Reserve is continuing. And I wish that the Federal Reserve would do a small about-face and move interest rates in a higher direction. That would give assurity to the marketplace and confidence to the Federal Reserve. I think the manufacturing companies and our normal businesses, technology and so on, are attractive securities to buy. But the outside of that, we've got a little bit of irrational exuberance, and therefore we've got a decline in the dollar here significantly for the last week or so.
Today, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission announced they're suing three companies and two individuals for allegedly manipulating the crude oil market back in 2008 when we saw the price of oil move above $145 a barrel. Give us your reaction to that big news here today.
Well, that's stunning. Of course, these things happen 3 years later. It's a little bit difficult to have any impact upon prices today. I suspect that the supply-demand ratio for oil will push oil into a higher price. It's very interesting to see that natural gas prices are at a low for the last several years, and the actual cost, the dollar cost per unit of energy from natural gas is only a tiny fraction of the same thing for oil. So I would think that natural gas would join in this uptrend here soon.
We've also seen efforts by the markets to tamp down speculation in the precious metals, namely silver, lately. Give us your view of the precious metals at this point.
I would be a little bit cautious about silver and gold at this point. They're at right near all-time highs. I believe that there should be some concern, even though I know there's recommendations for these metals. But I believe that I would be cautious towards those metals.
All right. Any other specific places where you would be putting money now or taking it off the table?
I'd like the China situation at this point in time. I've been watching the Halter Index for years, of course, and a composite of about 50 companies there. And there's been a gradual sell-off in the last several months, which is making the China group a little more attractive. The housing markets had some plus and minus news today. Standard & Poor's cut Beezer down to negative. New home sales, however, were up during the month, and I think that's a positive. So, again, I continue to recommend that group. And I would add to it also the technology group. Cisco has made a new low for the year. Micron Technology and Intel look attractive to me.
We're going to be focusing on China in the next half hour with former Secretary of State Dr. Henry Kissinger, and also Peter Navarro will be joining us. Given what's happened with Yahoo lately and the situation there with its China subsidiary, what's your view of investing in Chinese companies at this point?
I believe it's attractive. There's going to be problems as we go along. China is a country that's been communistic and is migrating gradually towards capitalization. But I think it's a very attractive situation with a group of securities. They have a strong industry there, a strong work ethic, and I believe that there's attractive investments there.
Ed Wedbush, President of Wedbush Securities in downtown Los Angeles, thank you very much for joining us live here in the KNX. 40 years ago, President Nixon sent Dr. Henry Kissinger to Beijing to reestablish official U.S. contact with China. Since then, China's become an economic superpower, and the U.S. prevailed in the Cold War. The U.S.-China relationship is crucial to the global economy, but faces many challenges and uncertainties. Dr. Kissinger has shared his thoughts and experiences on China in his new book, Henry Kissinger on China. Dr. Kissinger served as Secretary of State under Presidents Nixon and Ford. He received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1973. His other awards include America's highest civilian honors, including the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Medal of Liberty. Dr. Kissinger is with us now on the KNX Business Hour. Doctor, thank you very much for this tremendous honor and privilege to speak with you here today on the KNX Business Hour.
Great pleasure to talk to you again.
Dr. Kissinger, thank you very, very much. And first of all,
glad to hear your voice again.
Give us your impressions on the state of the relation between the U.S. and China at the moment.
When I first came to China, there hadn't been any contact between the United States and China for over 20 years. China was being threatened by attack from the Soviet Union, and its economy was rudimentary. There were no cars on the streets, no consumer goods, no hotels. It was a very underdeveloped country. Now, of course, China is a dynamic economy, which is reaching a status where it would be significantly competitive with the United States. And we've had a 40-year relationship with some ups and downs. But it is clear that the future of the world economy and, in many respects, the future of peace and progress in the world depends on whether the United States and China can develop a cooperative relationship. By cooperative, I mean that both sides take into account the necessities of the other, and if one side should want to get unilateral benefits, then, of course, that cannot work, and then we will have an atmosphere of competition and confrontation, which would not be in the interests of either side. I often compare the situation to Europe before World War I, when there was a lot of competition between Britain and Germany. And I've often asked myself, what if the leaders of those two countries had met 4 years before the war and had known what the world would look like after the war? Would they not have tried to compose, to find a common basis rather than a confrontational basis? That's what this book is trying to accomplish.
Back during the era that you referenced, currencies were very much a big part of the discussions at that time, and inflation was a big concern, and there seems to be so much emphasis on Chinese currency. Give us your view of this important question here.
There's a common conviction that the Chinese currency is being established at a level that gives it an advantage. And, of course, we resist this, but one reason that the Chinese can accomplish this, it's because we have not done on our side what we need to make our country more competitive. We have run huge deficits. We've gone into heavy debt with the Chinese. We have neglected some of our industries. And when one country is building up its industries dramatically and another country is putting most of its emphasis on financial and speculative enterprises, then a disparity develops. So I'm saying, yes, where the Chinese try to take unilateral advantage, we absolutely need to resist it. But at the same time, we also need to pay attention to our own issues and avoid some of the going into debt and the going into debt that has been so characteristic, and to put more emphasis on job-giving industries than on speculative industries, which do not generate so much employment.
As you well know, there are some very harsh critics of the U.S.-Chinese relationship. Some are saying that the Chinese are deliberately trying to undermine our economy and may even be getting ready to challenge us militarily. How would you answer that?
The Chinese are going to become stronger as their economy grows. This is undoubtedly true. I think they are far from a position where they can challenge us globally. And if they were to challenge us globally, we would be in the position we've been before, that we will defend our own interests, and we will not stand idly by in such a situation. On the other hand, there are important elements in China who are asserting that this is not their intention, and that a cooperative element has to be fostered, and there are frequent cooperative meetings. So I think we are sort of on a watershed. We can go either way.
Dr. Kissinger, it was 20 years ago that the Soviet Union imploded, and we're seeing remarkable things happen in North Africa and in the Middle East at the moment. What is your outlook for any hint of democracy movement in China at this point?
It is inevitable that as the Chinese economy develops and grows, and new forces enter the Chinese economy, that their political structure will have to be adapted to this. This has been the basis for almost all the political changes that have occurred in history. And even today, the China that exists is more complex and more transparent and more open to discussions, except on the key issue of who governs, than the China I first met. So I expect some evolution to continue.
And Dr. Kissinger, if I may just ask you one more question regarding the Chinese purchasing of U.S. treasuries and concern that if they stop doing so, that we're going to have some serious economic problems here.
In all the discussions with China, we need to keep in mind that this is an element that is keeping our economy going, that they are absorbing our debt. But we have to stop a process by which we become so dependent on the foreign purchases of American debt. We absolutely have to cut our deficit, and the nature of the imbalance in trade has to be reversed. Some of this depends on Chinese actions, but a lot of it depends on American actions, and we have to keep that in mind as we go through our political debates over the next year.
Dr. Kissinger, thank you very much for this honor and privilege. We wish you all the best on your birthday this week as well. And thank you very much for sharing your important insights with us here in Southern California.
Thank you.
All the best to you, sir. Thank you very, very much.